And the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. Join Pastor Karen Wee Damilola Gabriel of Menorah School of the Spirit World as he heralds the revelation of the gospel of the kingdom and intimacy with the Godhead. Be blessed as you listen.
We worship the Lion.
Hallelujah. Jesus, we thank you for this evening. Your name alone be praised. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Please take your seat. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right, if you are joining us online or on site, please do well to share the broadcast. Into the wisdom before time began, you called us into, and you made a plan that we live and move and have all our being in thee. Into the wisdom before time began, you called us into, and you made a plan that we live and move and have all our being. Indeed, oh, 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 oh. You reign forever, your name is ever great. You are the wisdom before time began. You reign forever, your name is evergreen. You are the wisdom before time began. You reign forever, your name is evergreen. You are the wisdom before time be gone. Hallelujah. All right, I want to make welcome everyone in the Lord's name to the 8th day of our fasting. And I want to sincerely appreciate every one of us. Your sacrifices since the inception of our meeting. I want to appreciate you. I want to appreciate God over your lives. I know it's not something very easy, but God has been strengthening us and has been giving us the grace to keep up. So I appreciate our labors, especially those who gather here day in, day out. The Lord will honor your sacrifices in the name of Jesus. We want to make progress today. I feel so strongly that there are things that I have to make emphasis on. And so we are not in a hurry. We are not in a hurry. I would like to make emphasis more and more on some of the things that we were able to communicate yesterday. Because I like that those things sink, they find a place in our heart, and it is established in our heart. So I think I will go through the rigor of re-emphasizing these things so that we can become a people of mastery. Not just a people of knowledge, but a people of mastery. Hallelujah. So yesterday I began showing us the reality of kainos. I was explaining to us that kainos is not just newness. It's not just a replacement theory or an upgraded version of a life. I told us that kainos is the total obliteration or destruction of the old life. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, that man is a new creature. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. Alright, so the word kainos, the word new, is an entire new world order. Hallelujah. It's an entire species, an entire ecosystem. So I began to show us that this is our new environment in Christ Jesus. This is where we belong. We belong to an order. We belong to an eternal order, an immortal order. And we also checked 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 23, where the Bible told us that being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of the incorruptible seed of the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Right? That we are born by the word. That the word, we are the offsprings of the word. Even though we are wearing mortal garments, but we are the bearers of immortality. Even though we are carrying about a vile body, We have a vile body. However, there's the paraphernalia on our inside. There's the garment of on our inside. The nature on our inside is the nature of Jesus. The nature of Christ. No one can contend that. Because that was what came into our essence at new birth. That Jesus began to domicile in us. That heaven is at home in us. Alright, these things are not words we should become familiar with. They are realities in Zion. And I remember saying to us that we begin to live this reality. We live from Zion. We are not just hearing them. We are living them. It's a life that we have to practice. A life that is subject to practices. That's one of the beautiful things about Christianity. Is that you both teach or you both hear and you also do. There is the practical aspect of the life that we live. Alright, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach. Both to do and to teach. You cannot divorce the doing aspect of Christianity from the teaching aspect of Christianity. You cannot embrace one and disembrace the other. They are coupled entities. They are inseparable entities. So you must learn how to listen to God's word and maximally or principally place premium on also doing the word. Doing the word. The Bible talks about we being the hearers of the word and also the doers of the word, right? In fact, if the Bible talks about that we are not only justified by faith, we are also justified by works. Are you following me now? That's within a context. And the works there is not in any way referring to the works of the law. Alright? The works there within the context means that whatever we hear, whatever we do, we also exemplify it. We do them. Just like the Bible talks about in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Unto good works. Unto good works. So there's the reality of justification by works. We don't get to teach the whole counsel of truth. And that's where a lot of confusion sets in. Alright? I'm coming. I want to show you James chapter 2. Let me display James chapter 2. Maybe we take our reading from verse 20 for contextual purpose. James chapter 2. But we thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead. Please note the works here. Is not referring to the works of the law. Okay? Faith without works is dead. Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works? Are you seeing this? Okay, please, before we read this, let me display Romans chapter 3. I think Romans chapter 3 and verse 28. Romans 3 and verse 28. I don't want amplified. Please just pay attention. Okay? We are building gradually. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Now, you see here the Bible says justification comes by faith. Right? Without the deeds of the law. But Apostle James began to show us another layer. Apostle James says to us that we are justified by works. Is not Abraham, our father, justified by works? Please go back there. I just need to show us this. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Right? And now it's saying to us here, but without no old vain man, that faith without works is dead. Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works? Romans 3:28 says that we are justified by faith. But now it says that we are justified, Abraham was justified by works. Is there a contradiction? You know, someone asked me this question today, so I began to explain to him. And so I just felt to also, because people might have this kind of confusion in them. Alright? And the young man says to me that, is the scriptures contradicting each other? I said, no. So I began to explain to him. Alright? So, was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac, his son, upon the altar? You remember where he's quoting from? This is Genesis 21 or thereabout. When the Lord said to Abraham, take your son, thy only son, whom thou lovest, and go and sacrifice him for me. Right? Now, Abraham would have heard that word, and Abraham sits down at the comfort of his house without responding to the instruction of God. The response of Abraham to God's instruction is what is captured as faith. Remember, I was saying to us that faith is a name given to any action. Right? Our problem is that we think faith is just believing in your heart. No, faith is the action that you take when you believe. And that's the work. That's not the work of the law. Are we together now? That isn't the work of the law. That's the work of faith. The work of faith. So, when he offered Isaac, his son, upon the altar, was not Abraham, our father, justified by works? So it means that you can substitute these works for faith. Are you getting it now? What heaven is calling work here is the action it took in ensuring that when the Lord spoke to him, he responded in obedience. So it means that what you call obedience is faith life. When you obey God, you are living by faith. Are you following me now? Obedience is faith life. That Abraham obeyed, the Bible says that he is justified. Justification by works. Which also invariably means justification by faith. Justification by obedience. So we are also justified by these realities. Are you following him? Verse 22. Seest thou our faith, please pay attention, wrought with his works. And by works was faith made perfect. My God. So there's the imperfection of faith in the absence of your works. There's the imperfection of faith in the absence of your works. There's the imperfection of faith in the absence of your works. He says to us that, seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect. You want to see the perfection of faith? We see your works accompanied by your faith.
Faith becomes perfect when your work is included. Please pay attention that I'm not in any way referring to the works of the law. Okay? So that you don't think I'm doing legalism. You know, people think that when we teach like this, we are being legalistic. No. I'm teaching scriptures. I'm teaching what the Bible talks about. It says that our faith is made perfect by works. Verse 23. And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. Verse 24. My emphasis. Ye see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Oh my. This is amazing. So you don't say I'm faith in it without your works inclusive. What makes faith in it works is your work. Are you getting this? This scripture is actually very enlightening. It says to you that you see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. You don't say that you are in faith in disobedience. One of the ways you activate faith is obedience. You are not in faith by disobeying the counsels of God. You are in faith when your obedience is complete. Elosas and Mass. You are in faith when your obedience is complete. It says, don't say that you are in faith only with the absence of works. See, this is the way God looks at faith. You see, Abraham was under the old covenant. Those were the days where faith hadn't come. Because the truth is, what you call faith is primarily a personality. Are you getting it? What we call faith is primarily is what? A personality. Okay, can you give me time to work these things out? Right? Galatians chapter 3. I think that's why we have 21 days. So, there's no point rushing. Let's begin from verse 20. I said to you that faith is primarily what? A personality. Okay. Now, a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given, which could have given life, verily, righteousness should have been by the law. Now, listen to me. This is invariably saying that there's no life in the law. Hello? Let's read it again with your eyes open. Is the law then against the promises of God? And you know the law is talking about here in context. The law of Moses. Okay? God forbid. For if there had been a law given, which could have given life, verily, righteousness should have been by the law. So it means that there was no law that could give life. That's why righteousness was not a product of the law. In fact, Titus told us, is it Titus now? He says that the law is not written for the righteous, but for the unrighteous. Are you following me now? But I'm not working the law thing today. Let's just stay with
the context of our study.
But the scripture has concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus, not by faith in Jesus. Please pay attention when we study scriptures. The promise by faith of Jesus. It means that this faith is of an entity. Right? Of, not in. The faith of Jesus. Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. Verse 23. But before faith came. So this is a personality. So it means that faith is an entity. Before faith came, faith wasn't available in person under the Old Testament. They only learned from dimensions in faith or layers of faith. They didn't have the fullness of it. Why? Because faith hadn't come. Faith has not arrived. So the Bible says, but before faith came. So it means that a time came that faith came. Hello. But before faith came, we were kept under the law. So let's place two things side by side. Faith, the law. Before faith came, we were kept side by side under, we were kept under the law. Shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Are you getting this? You know, I love this scripture a lot. You see, some of us, we have to go and stay with Galatians, Ephesians. You will see life, Colossians, life. Every time I'm studying them, I'm amazed. Wherefore, the law was a schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ. Unto faith, law. The law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto faith. Look at the context of the reading. Are you following me now? So when you are reading, you read contextually. So you don't just look at Christ here. You can substitute Christ for faith. Before faith came, right? That we might be justified by faith. But after that faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. What is the schoolmaster here? The law. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. Different progression. You were not a child before. Please follow me. You became a child of God not just by the faith of Christ, but by the faith in Christ. There is the faith of Christ, but you are not involved until you come into faith in Christ. Hello? Are you see? You see, the scripture is complete. There's nothing you can say to say the word of God contradicts each other. There's nothing. Nowhere can you be boastful enough or be bold enough to say that the word of God contradicts each other. No, sir. Except you say to us that you have deficiency in understanding the workability of the word. Are you following me now? We saw the faith of Christ the other time, right? Now, it says that becoming a child of God is not just by the faith of Christ. It's by the faith in Christ. You must have the faith in Christ. Are you following me? The faith of Christ must now be in you. So that's why the book of Romans chapter 10 says that with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. But with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. From that day onward, this name is now your name. This is now your appellation. We are children by adoption into Christ, right? For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither born nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. This, all of this that you see, was actually the gospel that was preached unto Abraham. The gospel was preached to Abraham. It was when Abraham believed that the Bible says was that it was accounted unto him for righteousness. The gospel, see, Galatians chapter 4. I don't know why I'm beginning like this today. Did I say chapter 4? I don't think it should be chapter 4. Okay, it's still chapter 3. Let's start from verse 15. Chapter 3 from verse 15. Are we there now? Okay. So, brethren, I speak after the manner of men, though it be but a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannulleth or addeth thereto. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He seeth not unto seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. Okay, so it means that when God was making the promise to Abraham under the old, what God was saying was Christ. Isaac was just the typology or the figure of him that was to come, right? Just the same way that Romans chapter 4 and verse 14 talks about Adam being the figure of him that was to come. All right, in the same vein, Isaac was the figure of him that was to come. The reality came in the new covenant when Apostle Paul began to demystify the mystery behind the seed. He says it is not the seeds, as in plural, but the seed. And the seed was said to be Christ. And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, this covenant was confirmed, not to be confirmed. It was confirmed before of God in Christ. So it means that this covenant was not a remedial covenant. It wasn't a remedial covenant. This is the original covenant. If I teach about this today, I will just change my topic entirely. See, the law only interrupted the original covenant. God didn't have, there was no plan, as it were, for the law. The law came when the children of Israel decided to provoke the law. This is the original covenant that God made with who? With Abraham. That was why during the dispensation of the promise, dispensation of Abraham, there was nothing like the law. Are you following me now? The law came 430 years after 430 years after the promise was made to Abraham. And the Bible says that this promise was confirmed before of God in Christ. Before of God in Christ. So the original template, the original reality of God was Christ. Christ, even before Adam. That was why when God, the Bible was talking about, come, let us create man in our own image. That image was not Adam. It wasn't. Are we together now? We must understand. You see? That's why we began with that song. Into the wisdom before time began. The wisdom of God is a mystery. Imagine that all Christ came to do was to act out. Oh, damn it. God bless you. I'm just looking at you. Welcome. Alright. Imagine that Jesus only came to act the script that has been written. Because the Bible says to us that he was slain before the foundation of the world. So before the world was created, salvation was in place. And the salvation wasn't in anyone else. It was not in Adam. It was not in Moses. It was not in Elijah. It was not in any. It was in Christ. And that happened before the foundation of the earth. So everyone that you saw before you saw Jesus in reality, they were only acting out their script. Hey. Do you understand? Salvation was not a remedial course or a plan B. No, that was the original plan from the beginning. See, everything you saw before Jesus came was to show you the limitation of men. How that salvation cannot be found in men except in God. So when God had demonstrated that, see, the Bible says that the law came to reveal the weakness of men. It was when the law came that we knew transgression. So when God had shown us that the best of man is weakness, the best of man is error. When God had demonstrated that, so that your hope and your trust will not be in mortal men. So what God did was that he became man himself to now play the actual script, the original script. Do we understand? Please don't be confused. So when God says, let us create man in our own image, in the eyes of God, the person is referring to was Jesus. Not Adam. In the eyes of God, the community of the Godhead, they were aware that they were referring to Jesus. Because that image was not going to be eventually accomplished in Adam. It was eventually accomplished in the Son, who is the exact image of the invisible God. Do we understand these things? Please, we have to be scripturally intelligent so that we are not tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. We know the word. We are perfect in the word. We are mature and we are maturing. So from the beginning, it has been about Jesus. Only about Jesus. That's the truth. Only about Jesus. You scan through the book of Genesis, all you will see is Jesus. Every other thing you see, they are only playing, acting their own script. I'm sure you are aware that many of the things that happened before Jesus came in reality was just like when God looked at the earth realm, God looked at everything happening, God would just be laughing in heaven. You know why? Because he knows the end from the beginning. Just like If you have seen a final match before, maybe let's say Barcelona and Chelsea or thereabouts. If you have seen the match before, and you are aware of the person who won, right? Let's say for instance that Chelsea won. I'm just giving somebody hope. Amen. Are we together? And so you just came with your friends and you sat down either in your sitting room or somewhere that you are watching the football, and those of your friends, they were not aware of the person who previously won. You were the only person who was privy to everything that happened in the match. Do you know that if the match was 2-0, no matter how the other opponent, Barcelona, how they try to score, and your friends are screaming, your mind will be at rest. Right? They might be shouting, but you can be taking popcorn and chewed Coca-Cola. Amen? Because you already know how the game ended. No matter, even if they say that they gave them penalty in the match, and you knew already that they lost the penalty, your mind will be at rest. Those who are not aware, they will be shaking. Say, but you, your mind is at rest because you already are aware of everything that transpired. That was exactly what was happening in heaven. God wasn't moved. God wasn't perplexed. Why? Because he already knows how the game plan is. He knows the end from the beginning, the beginning from the end. He knows that already Jesus was sacrificed before the foundation of the world. The point is, before you and I came into this world, Jesus already died. Are you following me now? Please, you need to get these things very clearly. What you saw play out is just a physical demonstration of what already happened in the spirit. Please. That's why I was saying to you that 5 minutes at time, when you switch into the realm of the spirit, it could be 7 months. 5 minutes at time. That you just go and you come back in 5 minutes, you would have assumed that, I've been there for long. But at time, you just notice that it's just 5 minutes. It's a realm of completeness. It's a realm of now. It's a realm of endlessness, where things finish before they begin, and where things begin before they finish. Please pay attention. This will push me to what we are about to discuss today. It's still the same thing, but I just want to show you more light in operating your spiritual life. I tell you that what I teach, I practice them. I don't just teach. I was laid down there for some couple of minutes before the meeting started, and so many things began to happen to me in few minutes. I saw reality of the supernatural. Reality. So we are not just teaching, we are practicing. Are you following me now? So, what you saw happen, that Jesus came, was hung on the cross. You see, that's why if you are pitying Jesus, when he says, Father, let this cup pass over me. No, it already happened in the spirit. They know how it went. So there was no way Jesus could have failed. Don't you get? You are the one thinking, hey, or those in his days, they say, hey, Jesus is fainting. No, but it already happened in the spirit. Everything was settled. The salvation of men was settled. That was why the Bible says to us in the book of Hebrews chapter 12, if you can display that, please let me do that. In Hebrews chapter 12, let me show you one powerful thing that you know. Now, verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of faith. The word "I" was supplied. Okay, if you have the original, you see that it was italicized in King James. So, he's the author and finisher of faith. And who is that? Jesus, right? For who for the joy? Who for the joy? Wait, how did he know this joy? If it was not already done. Please stay there. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. So what was sponsoring all that Jesus did? The joy that was set before him. How did he know? Already consummated. Are you getting it now? You know what it means that at the end of the day, you know that there's a prize waiting for you. Are you following me now? It's different from when you don't know that there's a prize waiting for you. But you are aware. Jesus was already aware that Hebrews chapter 2. Let me see. If I can show us something from Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews 2 and from verse 9. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he might, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. Please pay attention. For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory. So what's the joy? Bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. So all that he went through was because of bringing many sons unto glory. And that was the joy that was set before him. And so when he saw that ahead, that when I go, it's like a corn of wheat that falls into the ground. If it remains alone, it abides alone. But if it falls into the ground, it bringeth forth much fruit. Is that true? That was the typology of Jesus going into the ground. And on the basis of his ascension, he's not coming alone. Is coming with the saints. Is coming with the host. And that was exemplified when Jesus died on the cross. The Bible says was that when he resurrected, the body of the saints that were long gone, they also arose with him. And they were all seen on the street of Jerusalem. Do you understand it? That was the joy that was set before him. He foresaw it. The same way that David says that I foresaw the Lord always before me. Alright, God sees all things. Those were the reasons why Jesus endured all that he endured. You see, the point is, if you look at your life and you see where you are headed, many things that you are going through today, you are going to endure them. The problem is that you don't look beyond, you don't know where you are going. But when your eyes open and your sight shifts, you shift dimension in the place of sight, and you see where you are headed. You will see that many of the things that the devil is marketing to you, you will just tread upon them. You will tread upon snakes and scorpions and every power of the enemy. Nothing shall by any means hurt you. Why? Because you are already aware of where you are headed. So we must learn from the life of Jesus. We must learn from his life. Because of where he was headed. You see, there are things that cannot shift my ground, for example, because of many of the things that I've seen. I'm talking about my personal self. I know I might not have arrived into some of those things, or I might not know the full blueprint, but with the minute dimension of the revelation I've captured in God about where some of us are headed, it helps to strengthen the journey. So that when the devil is selling or marketing errors, it is easy for you to say, how can I do this great wickedness and sin against my God? There is something that Joseph knew that made him cut ties with carnality. Are you following me now? You see, when we know where we are headed, you will cut ties with the life of sin. Because you know that it can stall you. It can stall your advancement. And it can bring you to a place of being stuck. You are stuck. Many fall cheaply because we do not look ahead. We don't look ahead. Our faces are not set like the flint. Who, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame. And we are the joy. That's why I'm God's joy. Because of me, he despised the shame. He endured the cross. He was looking at me. You see, you can see that I'm giving glory to him today. That what he did was not in error. So he did well over my life. So every time he look at me, say, hey, no wonder I endured because of Karunwi. Don't you get? That's why your life must bring him pleasure. Because for your sake he endured. People do not know that the life of the believer is supposed to be pleasurable unto God. That our lives bring pleasure to God. For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. All things, including you and I. Created beings, created realities. Everything is supposed to bring pleasure to him. God must reap the dividend of pleasure. That our lives must be pleasing to him. Why? Because he endured the cross. Now, if he looks at my own life, for example, he is not ashamed. He is happy that he endured. Because he knew that as an individual, he is limited. But by going into the grave, there will be multiplicity of himself in men. And they can, with their collocation, with their synergy, they can, with that, uninstall every protocol of darkness in territories, in several sectors, in several spheres. And so Jesus is seeing that today, and he's saying that my death wasn't in vain. Are we following me now? Glory to God. Okay, let me see if I can work things in the few minutes that we have. I'm not even aware that time has gone like this. Alright, so I want to place emphasis on the life of the supernatural. And please, if you are writing, you can write this down. That living the supernatural is living the supernatural is living a higher plane of consciousness. Living the supernatural is living a higher plane of consciousness. Higher plane of consciousness. I feel so strongly that I have to place emphasis on this. I've been saying this since last week, but I want to say it more and more and be more vocal about it with intensity. That what you call the life of the supernatural is responsive to an higher consciousness. Is responsive to what? Higher consciousness. So that when you understand how to amplify your consciousness into the realm beyond, into the realm of the into the realm of eternity, if your consciousness can be risen to the thought realm of God, if your consciousness can be risen to the living realm of God, living the life of the supernatural will be at your beck and call. It will not be something that becomes like a stone. It becomes fleshy. Are we together? Our consciousness must increase. Our consciousness must be augmented to the level at which God reasons, at which God thinks, at which God communicates. Our consciousness must rise to that altitude. Our consciousness must rise to that layer so that the same way that God reasons, you can reason in the same measure. Please follow me. What makes God supernatural is heightened consciousness. Did you get what I said? What makes God supernatural is his what? Heightened consciousness. The Bible says that my ways are not your ways, and my thoughts are not your thoughts. As the heaven is higher than the earth, so are my ways not your ways, and my thoughts not your thoughts. This is it. God is trying to say to us that my thought pattern is higher than mortal thought pattern. So you will not operate with God in the realm of the supernatural if your own thought pattern cannot be heightened into the realm of the supernatural. Because the God that you are serving, the God that we are talking about, is a God that lives above the heavens. He lives over all space, over all matter. He lives over all galaxies. He is in an higher plane of influence. His realm is not within mortal dimension. His realm is outside mortality. So the way mortal men or mundane men or physical men reasons, God doesn't reason in such way. So you want to operate with that God, with that spirit, you have to get out of how mortality thinks, how mortality works. You have to get out of it so that you can come into the same measure of God's thought pattern. The same way that he reasons, You can come into the same way. Do you understand it? I tell you, the Lord wants me to emphasize this. I sat there. I was laying on the bed. Because every day I ask the Lord, what do I say? There are a lot to teach you. A lot. I have many deep things to say. Alright? But while I slept, I came out of an experience. And I heard him say, to live in the supernatural, your thought pattern must be heightened. An higher plane of thought pattern. You must come into my thought life. That you have the capacity to look into the heart of God and read the scroll on his heart. That the same way that God is thinking, you can think in that similitude. You see, it will now be easy when God communicates something that looks hard to you. If your thought is aligned and is synchronized with the thought of God, when it communicates some hard things to you, you easily believe them. Are you following me now? Imagine that God is saying that by this time tomorrow, a measure of fine flour shall be sold for a shekel, and 2 measures of barley shall be sold for a shekel, according to the word of the Lord. That was what the prophet says. And if you reason it, there was no way, practically speaking, by the influence of man or by mortal reality, that prophetic word was going to come to pass. There was no way. You cannot. Please. You cannot in any way imagine that was going to be fulfilled. It can't happen naturally. It can't. Because these were days where there was scarcity of food. There was famine. There was no food anywhere. It got so bad that people were eating themselves. They were boiling their children to eat. And somebody arose and said, thus hear the Lord, by this time tomorrow, a measure of fine flour shall be sold for a shekel, and 2 measures of barley for a shekel. How do you reconcile that? How? If your thought is not risen to that of heaven, you will not believe the communications of God. That's it. And one of the problems that we have is the problem of believing. You don't believe, you don't have. You don't believe, you are excommunicated from the supernatural. That's the truth. That your supernatural prowess is within the purview of your belief systems. Your supernatural prowess is within the purview of your belief systems, so that if you don't believe, you are excommunicated from the life of the supernatural. You see things working as against you instead of working for you. Why? Because you don't believe God according to his communicative measures. He has the way he communicates with men. And so it's important that if you are going to operate with God in his realm, in his capacity, you are also going to augment yourself into his capacity. Hallelujah. See, let's cut ourselves from just picking the word just because we want to teach men. We want to show prowess, grammatical prowess. Amen. You will soon know that your capacity is not in your ability to communicate in grammar. What has not entered into you? If your heart realm, your heart condition, your thought pattern has not risen, you can speak grammar and it will not strike any chord in the heart of the people. Because even when you teach, you are teaching from the altitude of the spirit that you have arrived at. Are you following me now? You are speaking from your plane, from your level in the spirit. The way it will dawn on men is on the basis of the realm you are speaking from. On the basis of the things you have touched in God. Are you following me now? So you've got to understand what I'm teaching you. That the life of the supernatural is sacrosanct to your belief systems. You don't have accurate belief systems, the supernatural is excommunicated from your essence. By this time tomorrow, a measure of fine flour shall be sold for a shekel. Every circumstantial situation surrounding that prophecy is negative. If not because the man of God had worked with God for some time, I am sure that declaring such prophecy wouldn't have been very easy, isn't it? When people were eating themselves, the amount he said food was going to be sold for is ridiculous. Ridiculous. A shekel. Ridiculous. And when God came, you don't blame the man who said, even if God opens the window of heaven, he spoke as a man, because that was the truth. 2 Kings 7. He spoke from a natural standpoint, and that's the truth. If you are not augmented in the spirit, you can't understand the communication of God. It was because that man was cut from the ties of heaven civilization. He couldn't reason the way God reasoned. He couldn't think the way God thinks. So he said, even if God opens the window of heaven, this was not going to be possible. And the prophet says that with your eyes you are going to see it, but you become a stepping stone when the day breaks. Who would have thought that those who were excommunicated from civilization would bring revival, would fulfill the prophecy? There were four lepers. Do you remember? Who were just doing their own. And God moved them to fulfill the prophecy. While four lepers were moving, it was as though a host of chariots were moving. And those four lepers, they moved into a territory where there was abundance. Where there were spoils. And what God says was fulfilled. Are you following me now? I tell you, brethren, that you must heighten your consciousness of who God is. You must heighten your consciousness of who God is. See, when someone promises you something, you must know that person to believe the person. It is on the basis of the capacity of that person that you believe the promise. So when someone promises you, check the person. So if God promises you something, check him. Check God. Do you understand? See, God has advantage of everything in time and in eternity. He has the advantage of age. He is ageless. He is the immortal one. Are you following me now? He has the advantage of technical know-how. He has the advantage of knowledge. He has the advantage of intellect. He has the advantage of provision. So when God says, I'm going to bless you, I'm going to do this in your life, you take him within the layer of his capacity. I was saying to you that if Bishop David Oyedepo comes here and says, I'm going to give you all $1 million, you don't doubt it. Isn't it? If I say that, I know your nose. Are you following me? You just twist your nose. But you know why? You don't trust my words. Not because my words are not powerful, but because of my capacity. What do you look at? You don't only look at the word You also look at the capacity of the speaker. Isn't it? So how do you trust a God whose realm is higher than the entire universe? Is that your level of consciousness about Him must be heightened. Must be heightened. It has to be heightened. Because you wouldn't know that there is a way on the sea if you have not taken a step. And taking a step is an heightened understanding of who God is. Because you would have said, how will I take a step on the Red Sea? You could just be standing there. If you don't take a step, the step you took is because you know God to be a way maker. Faith is taking a step, even when you have not seen the whole staircase. Are you following me now? That you have not even seen the end, but you are taking the step. Abraham, get out of thy father's house. Abraham wasn't aware of where he was headed, but he took the step. Faith is taking the step, even when you don't know the destination. Your consciousness of God must be heightened. I'm teaching today from encounter. Second Kings. Second Kings chapter 6. Thank you, Lord. 2 Kings chapter 6. Let's start from verse 8. We are going to do a long reading. Then the king of Syria warred against Israel and took counsel with his servants, saying, in such and such a place shall be my camp. And the man of God sent unto the king of Israel, saying, beware that thou pass not such a place, for thither the Syrians are come down. And the king of Israel sent to the place which the man of God told him, and warned him of, and saved himself there, not once, not twice. Therefore the heart of the king of Syria was so troubled for this thing, and he called his servants, and said unto them, will ye not show me which of us is for the king of Israel? And one of his servants said, none, my lord, O king, but Elisha, the prophet that is in Israel, telleth the king of Israel the words that thou speakest in thy bedchamber. Because of my teaching. And he said, go and spy where he is, that I may send and fetch him. And it was told him, saying, behold, he is in Dothan. Hallelujah. On the basis of the communication of prophet Elijah to the king of Israel. And what he was communicating were secrecy, the words that the king said or is saying in his bedchamber is not sounding an alarm. They are secret words. Secret words. And there was a man that knew the secret of the king, that whatever the king is planning to do, this man communicates with the king of Israel. And so the king got to a point that he was confused. That how do they know our plans? If we map out this strategy, they know it. We map out another strategy, they know it. I said, who among you has become a traitor? That you tell the king of Israel whatever we decide. And one of them said, it is Elisha, the prophet. The point is, how did he know? It means that there has been track record of such life with Elisha. They must have been exposed to many of the things that Elisha does to be convinced that it was Elisha telling the king whatever they map out. That was the same thing that Obadiah said about Elijah. When Elijah said to Obadiah, go and tell your king Ahab that I have arrived. Say, if I go now, you will just disappear again. No? Because he was used to disappearing. That's his lifestyle. That he could be in another place within few minutes. And so Elijah gave him the confidence that, no, this time I won't go. I'm around. Amen? Such a lifestyle. So on the basis of what happened, the king sent to fetch Elisha. And he heard that he was in Dothan. Now let's see what happened. Therefore, send ye thither horses and chariots and a great host. And they came by night and compassed the city round about. This was a siege. They call it siege. Do you know what sieging a city is in those days? Is that they surround the entire city so that there will be no room for escape. You want to try to escape, there will be no room. So everywhere is surrounded, everywhere is barricaded. They become the garrison around the environment that the person they want to go and capture is, so that there will be no room for escape. And so they siege that city, they compass it round about, and yes, let's see. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots, and his servant said unto him, alas, my master, how shall we do? The servant said to his master that there is fire on the mountain. There is trouble here. Why? Because we are compassed about. And so he was perplexed. He was in a state of pandemonium. A state of despondency. Why? Because they were compassed about. And the Bible says, And he answered, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. What effrontery. How could a man speak in this manner? You heard that thieves are around your house. They have come to kill you. They have come to destroy you. And you had a privileged information. What should you do? Look for a way of escape. I thought that was what Elisha was supposed to be planning. That how do we escape from here? How do we run away? But this man had effrontery to say, fear not. They that be with us are more than they that be with them. This is heightened consciousness about the atmosphere of the spirit, about God. heightened consciousness. He's so aware of his realm. He's aware of the realm that mobilizes him. He knows. You don't know what you're talking about. See, I'm very sure that if the Bible says that horses and chariots surround a city, not a house, not two houses, they surround a city, I'm sure that there will be legion. Do you understand it? So Elijah was saying invariably that the people that walk with me, they are more than them. And that could only be God. One with God is a majority. That could only be God. Are you following me now? They that be with us are more than they that be with them. This man has been practicing the life of God consciousness. It has been a part and parcel of his journey. He goes with that conviction. That conviction has painted his heart, his consciousness so well that it's so ascertained that where I am, nothing evil can touch me. Why? Because I have hosts around me. They that be with us are more than they that be with them. I have hosts. I'm not alone. I have entourage. Consciousness. You walk on the road, you have this consciousness. You are in your house, you have this consciousness. Everywhere you are, you have this consciousness that I am not alone. Hey, can I tell you something? What you talk about, what you honor, what you acknowledge eventually comes to you. What you talk about, if you talk about the ministry of protection, the ministry of angels, the ministry of the saints, the ministry of men in white linen, you begin to see them. It's a law. It's a spiritual law. Could it be that you have been exposed to attacks because you don't affirm your reality by your word? When you acknowledge the ministry of the host, the ministry of the saint, you will see them in and around you. You acknowledge angelic ministry, you will see them working for you. This is the consciousness. Fear not. So as at this point, this man was jittery. Fear already crept into his heart. That was what the man of God discerned by his prophetic prowess. And he says, fear not. The very first thing that you must take away in demonstrating the supernatural, you must take away fear. You want to see the supernatural at work, the supernatural functional. This is the very first thing that you must delete. You must delete fear. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of love, of power, and of a sound mind. 2 Timothy 1:7. Fear must be far from your corridors. Fear antagonizes against the flow of the supernatural. Fear cripples the supernatural. Fear cripples the operation of God around you. God wants to operate, but fear cripples it. Fear is a dangerous weapon in disannulling the supernatural. A dangerous weapon. It's a tool that shuts down the operations of God in and around us. Very dangerous at that. God could have done many things in our life, but our fear shut down the operations of God. So the man of God knows by his prophetic office. He's a prophetic entity. So he understood how that you want to magnetize the supernatural, you must ultimately uninstall the protocol of fear in your heart. That's the way you can see. Notice that he didn't pray for him first until he said, fear not. Because if he prays while he is in fear, he will not even see. Ah! Are you following me now? If you do prophetic things, you will understand this. These are the things that you must learn in prophetic realities. One of the gates, that shut down prophetic accuracy is fear. Prophetic accuracy. What if I say it and nothing happens? What if I didn't say it and this happens? What if the spirit of fear clogs the supernatural? It clogs the supernatural. So the man of God says, fear not. Fear not. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Isaiah 41 verse 10. Woo! I will uphold thee. Woo! Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. Why? Because thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest before me a table in the presence of my enemy. Thou anointed my head with oil, my cups run over. Why will I not fear? Because your presence with me, the presence of God, is the agent that excommunicates fear in our lives. So you want the spirit of fear to be far from you, you must engage the presence. The presence of God is the antidote to fear. The presence of God is the remedy to fear. Are we getting blessed? Fear not! Listen, don't forget, please pay attention. Don't forget that, please go back to that place. Don't forget that this young guy was in the school of the prophet. And one of the things that you do in the school of the prophet is that you learn by observation. Right? You learn by what? Observation. You check how your teacher, how your prophet operates, and you learn it. You check the orientation of your prophet. You check the modus operandi of your prophet. So this guy was in the school of the prophet. And one of the things that the prophetic emissary in the person of Elisha was teaching him is the reality of the supernatural. Because this guy, he is in fear because of the siege around him. Because of, listen, what happened to this guy could have happened to anybody. Some of you can't walk at night. Are you following me? And I'm not saying that you should be careless. I'm just saying to you that this could happen to anyone. But he is in the school of the supernatural, in the school of the prophet. And so you should see this teaching as a course curriculum. That in the school of the supernatural, you must learn how not to fear. You must learn how not to fear. When some of us began at the juvenile level in the prophetic, you know, this was one of the things that first plagued us. That's the truth. But for the first time in my life, I will never forget when I began to flow in prophetic things, is when a young lady, I remember in those days, said to me over the phone that, "Dami, do you know my birthday date?" And I said, "No, how do I know it when I'm not a witch?" You imagine that Toluwa Lashe says that, "Pastor, do you know, I don't know it." When she said that, I said, "I don't know it." But within a jiffy, I just heard the voice that said to me, you see, every time I say this, I will say it accurately. Why? Because it's an encounter. I will not mix it up. I just said September. Somewhere around me, there was fear. Because that was my first time of doing forensic prophecy. I've known about prophecy, but some of those prophecies are just sweeping prophecy. Don't I just say, there are somebody here, there are people here. We need accuracy. But they are in a meeting, there are many persons. Like 100 persons can have stomach problem. Do you understand it? But when you begin to go into details, that you show us that this stomach problem began 2 days ago or began this thing, the person will know that, you are talking to me. Are you following me now? I just heard September. And so that was the first thing I said. I said September. I didn't know how that happened. I didn't know how that. But the first time I heard the September, I don't know how I learned how to hear the second thing. I just noticed that I became still. And by becoming still, I heard 22nd. So I just said September 22nd. And the lady screamed, "How did you know that?" But before that time, fear wanted to cripple. Maybe I would not have been active in that light till now if I had allowed that fear to cripple that prowess. Do you understand it? So I began to notice that as time goes on, I could come to a place where I'll be picking people's details. I remember those days when I thought some of us, we also saw the same thing replicated, right? Isn't it? Accuracy. I remember we had a closed door meeting, I guess during the lockdown, right? With some of us, not everybody. And I began to teach about it. And I said, "Go and practice." And we're seeing accuracy again. Right? Have you forgotten? You have forgotten. You have forgotten. That's serious. During the lockdown. When you were picking names, every one of you accurately, they were picking people's names from even people that they don't know. Middle names, everything accurate. Picking surname, you see, is a generic reality. It's our prophetic nature. We do not doubt that they are prophetic officials, but we also know that we are a prophetic people. And these things can be taught. You see, if you say that those, when you see them on TV, I say it's like, but some of you who have been taught and you have done it, you know that these things are real. And I didn't lay hands on you specially. It's just teaching. It was even over the phone. The school of the spirit. That's why menorah is not just what place, it's also a school of the spirit. So we demonstrate the spirit. We demonstrate the God life. Hallelujah. So this guy is in the school, and his master began to teach him one of the angles of the supernatural. And he says, if you are going to do exploits in the supernatural, you must shut down fear. I also teach you by experience. You must shut down fear. I've heard crazy prophecies. I was ministering somewhere outside Lagos. Not outside Lagos. It was Adeniran Ogunsanya. I was there for 2 days ministering. And so, I guess it was the first day. And the Lord said to me that there's a young lady with accuracy, description, that she bedwets. You see, if you fear, you can't say that. But because over the years, I've been able to master how to delete fear in the prophetic, in the supernatural. So I said, I was in Mina Obida, one of such. I was in the room where they gave me, and so while I was praying, suddenly there was a presence that came into that room. I didn't see a physical angel, but I saw a presence that came into the room. It was serious. It was like a wind. I knew an angel came by way of discernment and by way of my growth in the things of the prophetic. And so, when I acknowledged that presence, I was hearing from the wind. The angel said, in the meeting you are going to, that was the last night. I was there for 4 days. The last night was that there is a young girl called Shade. She's busty, she's short, and she's dark. Ah! So I got to the meeting. That was the first thing I said. And the person who brought her, when she came out, exact description, exact one. When she came out, the person said, that lady was supposed to leave Mina that day. Have I shared it before? Beautiful. Was supposed to leave Mina that day, but he insisted that she comes. And while the person was insisting that she comes, an angel came into my own room because she wanted to settle. His life was, her life was supposed to be settled. Do you understand it? Some of us, our prophetic life is dead because we fear a lot. That's why things happen around you and you don't know. It's a life of practice. A life that you live. I hate that people gather to learn God's word and they don't practice it. If I don't see the fruit of God's word in your life, then you are not learning. Because the product of your learning should be that a fruit is proceeding out of your life. Yes, we must see the fruit. Happy are ye if you do these things. Happy are ye if you do them, not if you hear them. You do them is a life that you must live. The life of the supernatural is native to our essence. Is a default in God. But the point is, they will not take a leap without exercise. How do we make them take quantum leap until we begin to exercise them? We begin to fan them to flame. We give them the right to find expression. Else, they could be there and lying gullible without finding expression. Fear is one handle that shuts down the flow of the spirit. the flow of the Spirit. In our last meeting, the Lord spoke to me that there was going to be the spirit of speed. And I said, please watch them. Some will run literally. Fear would have shut you down. Say, what if it doesn't happen? That's the problem we have. That what if it doesn't happen? Were you the one who spoke? Who do you obey? God. You obey Him based on His capacity to do. You know how it is that a minister, a pastor teaches you and he doesn't see the reflection of his teaching in your life. You know what it means? It's as though the labor is in vain. There must be fruit. That's why you must take roots downward. Please give me John's Gospel chapter 15. John's Gospel 15. Oh, shalabarakiastos. From verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. Verse 5, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered. And men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified. See the glorification of the Father. That ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. That ye bear, this is the, that's don't worry, that's just where I'm. Herein is my Father glorified. God is not yet glorified until your life begins to produce fruit. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. Good works is bearing fruit. And glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Glorify your Father, which is in heaven, when you bear fruit. The Father is glorified. Thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you. Thank you. Let's get back into where we were. Okay, thank you. Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. Look at protocols of the Spirit. Look at the protocol. He ought to pray for the man to see first. But he ensured that man, because even if he prays, this fear will clog the flow of the supernatural. He first attacked the impediment, the hurdle that would have shut down his prayers. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, Now listen that. Okay. Open his eyes that he may see. Notice that Elisha didn't pray the angel down. Elisha prayed for the man. The problem was not the atmosphere. The problem was the man. The atmosphere is always there. But the problem is that your consciousness is not heightened. People who have known me for years, you would have heard me say, I've been traveling for about 12 years now. And it has been consistent. That even if there's an accident, I would have gone. Do you understand it? It is either I protect the car. I was coming from one of my ministrations one day. I think it was in Osun State. And so, I couldn't get a direct bus to Lagos. I got a bus to Ibadan. When I got to Ibadan, the bus I was supposed to board to Lagos, as I was about stepping in, the Lord spoke to me. And the Lord said to me that this bus is going to experience... What's happening? Forever and ever and ever you reign. Forever and ever you reign. Say forever and ever and ever you reign. Forever and ever you reign. Listen, I was about entering the bus and the Lord spoke to me and said there was going to be an accident. And so on hearing that, the next thing I did was to turn back. And said, God said, go back. He said, enter. I said, don't you get? You told me that there was going to be an accident. And you said I should enter. You want me to die? But I obliged. Are you following me now? I obliged. So what was my responsibility in sitting on that bus? My responsibility was to intercede for everyone in that bus. So I sat down in the bus and I was praying from that place. And the point is, we're almost getting to Lagos and nothing was happening. So I was saying to the Lord, what's happening now? You said there was going to be an accident, and up until now, we have not seen nothing. Hallelujah. It was not too long after I was making that inquiry in the spirit when the thing eventually happened. But the truth is, lives were preserved. And so it means that the destiny of those men in the car or in the bus was tied to the praying man. If I had feared death, I would have exposed them to death. Do you understand it? Because if I had feared death, I would not obey God. And my action would have been detrimental to many lives. Do you understand it? So we must understand the life of the supernatural, the life of the spirit. The Bible says to us that the man Elisha prayed for the servant that, Lord, open his eyes. What does that mean? Open his eyes. The problem was not that his eyes was not opened, because he wasn't blind. He was saying. So what opened eyes was the man of God praying. He's praying that his consciousness comes alive. The same way Apostle Paul was praying enlightenment for the eyes of their understanding, not their optical eyes. Please get these things clear. I am seeing like this. I am seeing simultaneously realities in the spirit. If you have come close to me, you will understand that we must learn how to shift dimensions. I was teaching that yesterday. You see, the problem is that we are too carnal. That's why some of us, we must stop unnecessary life of jest, because it's shutting down a whole lot. You feel that you are just being comical, alright? But you don't know that you are shutting down a whole lot. You must learn how to simultaneously operate in two realms. That you are still looking in the physical and your spiritual gates are opened. Your organ of reception, receptacles, they are unlocked. You can speak things in the supernatural realm. You can look into the natural and also look into the supernatural. That was the gate that opened over this man of God. The man was seeing troops, but he was seeing greater troops than the troops that came and accosted them. How do you do that within a split second? That somebody came and gave you wrong information, gave you bad news, and with your stature in the realm of the spirit, you can alter it. You can say, this is a lie. Do you understand? You alter it. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes. We have settled it that this eyes is not a light. The servant was not blind, that he may see. So the problem here is the problem of sight. It's the problem of sight. He wasn't seeing. He's not aware of what is going on beyond the atrium. He's not aware of his spiritual estate. He's not aware of his new world. This is the problem of many believers. Many believers, we just walk aimlessly, we walk carelessly, without the understanding of the governing sphere of the spirit around us. No understanding. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha, not round about the servant. Why was it so? This was the man that has the heightenings of God's consciousness. On the basis of that consciousness, his entourage. Can I talk to you? Your angel can be weak on the basis of your weakness. Are you following me now? Your angels can be weak. When you are exposed to dangers. What do you think happened to you? The Bible says what in Psalms 91? He has given the angels charge over us to protect us. So why was it that you were exposed to danger? Your angel didn't protect you. Your weakness. Are you following me? Because you are in charge, you are supposed to activate them. They wait for your order. They wait for the word of God in your mouth. Are you following me now? They wait for the word of God in your mouth. Psalms 103 and verse 20. You could see that on the basis of the consciousness of Elisha, his entourage were around him. They were battle ready. They were in their regalia, a warring regalia. That anything happens here today, we are going to destroy. On the basis of the consciousness of the man of God. The same way that man, if Elijah was not conscious of the presence, he will also be in the state of his servant. Ha! Ha! Do you understand? He will also be in the state. See, in that day, the cover for the servant of Elijah was the presence of Elijah. For the servant of Elisha was the presence of the host around Elisha. Because when God opened his eyes, he didn't see hosts around him. He saw hosts around his father. Are you following now? So it means that the protection of him that day was under the canopy of his father. Oh, Yabakatolias. Are you following me now? This is one of the things that people don't know about spiritual fatherhood. Having a pastor over you. You literally come under their influence. Under the same angel that operates with him, we also begin to guide you. Are you following me now? Literally. That's what you are learning here. You are learning that mystery. So people who just feel they are headless. So I don't need any head over me. You don't know what you are exposed to. In that day, he saw vision truly, but not about himself. He saw the host around his father. And that was his protective measure. Are you following me? Bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength, that do his commandments. Right? They do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Our problem is that we have only thought that they do God's commandments. That's true. But how do they do God's commandments? They do God's commandments on the basis of the word that we voice, not on the basis of the word. Brethren, are you getting this? How do they do his commandments? Not, they don't do his commandments just by the word. They do his commandments by the voiced word. So who voices the word? You and I. Acting unto the voice of his word. Is not, they are not doing repetition. Voice and word here are not the same. Because there could be word that is not voiced. So who does the voicing? We do the voicing. When you declare, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You know what you are doing? You are activating angels. He has given his angels charge over me. lest I dash my foot. So as you said that, you are activating your angels. You keep mute, your angel will be weak. Except by the sovereignty of God, that's when you'll be protected. You don't get that others die like a chicken does not mean that you have to die like them. They know not, neither will they understand. The foundation of the world is out of course. And I said, ye are God, and all of you are the sons of the Most High, but ye shall die like men and fall like one of the princes. Those are those who are gods. He said that if they don't know, they will also die like mere men, and they will fall like one of the princes. Psalm 82, verse 6, verse 5, 6, and 7. See, we have to learn these things. Else, you are giving the devil right of way in your life. You say, I'm a Christian, I can't die anyhow. You will see that you will die. Not your portion. And everyone listening, I'm just telling you what works. Say, I'm protected. I'm protected. It doesn't just happen that way. You make decrees. You make decrees. You enforce your rights. You enforce. You legislate. You make decrees. You put your angels at work. How I love angels. Yeah. I've seen things. I was sharing with some persons recently. Well, let me just share some of these things. I just literally want to avoid so that we don't think that establish us in scriptures. But the truth is, they are experiences. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Bless ye the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye ministers of peace, that do his pleasure. Right? Give me Hebrews 1. Verse 14. Are they not all, please, I'd like you to look up. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for? To minister for. For. This changes this text. Minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation. Who are these? Believers. And says angels are sent to minister for you. That means angels were created for man. This is the Bible. See, you are saying how? Give me Revelations chapter 5. See, you know God, there was a time that nothing else was existing, that only God existed. The truth is, God, technically speaking, doesn't need angel. He is God all by himself. All by himself is God. But for the purpose of man, angel came into the process. So that God now dispatches angel for man. Do you understand it? Not because he needed them. Listen, God can do without angels because he is everywhere. He could do his biddings by himself. But when man came into the picture, angels were needed to minister for the heirs of salvation. Revelation chapter 5. I said angels were created for man. I said man. Is that true? And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven. So it means that there is man in heaven. Let me close. And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth. So it means that man can be in heaven, man can be in earth, man can also be. They said no man was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders said unto me, weep not, behold, the lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, have prevailed to open the book and to loose the seals, the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. Okay. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld and heard the voice of many angels. The voice of many angels, right? Round about the throne and the beasts and the elders. And the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, worthy is who? Who is that lamb? Who is Jesus? A man. Angels were created for that man. Do you understand it? For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man, 1 Timothy 2:5, Christ Jesus, the man, Christ Jesus. So Jesus came to show us. That's why you saw that in the earthly work of Jesus, at every point, you saw the ministry of angels. When he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, you saw angels came to strengthen him, right? You saw angels walk with him. At the point, he said, as a man, he said, I could command my father to send legions of angels. That's a man speaking. Ah! Are you getting this now? And as a man, we are in that Christ Jesus. We are also man or men. Do you understand it? So that's the context of saying that angels were created for man. And that man is first Christ Jesus. And don't forget that he called us as sons unto glory. So angels are also our own reality. Right? How do we activate them? by his word, by the word that we voice, not just by the written word. The written word is impotent without activation. The written word is impotent without activation. That the word of God is written in the Bible does not mean to work for you. You activate it for it to work. You activate it for it to work. Hallelujah. Are we blessed tonight? Before they will cut us off. Thank you, Lord. So we are going to make progress in this light tomorrow. Okay? I'm not true. I still have many more to say. I believe that this will set the tone for our supernatural operation. You see, if you are opening your eyes in the spirit, you will see that I've taught you a lot. That when you sit down to go and read and practice, you see that it cuts across every area of your life. See, I will not sit down to teach you 10 ways to make money. No. Are you following me now? It is not within my own administration. I want to build your spirit. When your spirit is built, you know how to make money. Ha! Do you understand? The problem is that we have a lot of centers that all they are doing is loss of money. So people are they have money, but they are growing lean in the spirit. The day they are broke, they say God is not good. Because we are not grooming them in the spirit. We are only showing them how to make money. So all that they know about God is that God blesses people. Is that God gives money. But the day something is wrong, their appetite for serving God will die. So I'm much more concerned about your spiritual building. When you are built spiritually, it will help your health. It will help your finances. It will help your decision making. You know what to do and what not to do. Nobody is truly spiritually built, and every area of his life is not met by God. Nobody. Nobody. That you are built, that you have understanding, that you have intimacy with God. God tells you what to do, what not to do. I tell you the truth. He tells you, he reveals the mystery of preservation to you. He tells you when to preserve your money for the days ahead. He tells you when not. It's not what you should just go and learn in one place and say, I want to learn how to save. You can learn that even with God. How? By the way of intimacy. Intimacy. Are you following me now? So don't think that we don't understand that there are areas of your life that you want God to meet. Alright? We know. That's why when we come for meetings, we declare financial miracle. We declare your health is healed. We declare these things. But much more, we want you to grow in the spirit, just as we are also growing. I'm growing. I want to grow much more. You can't find me like this, even tomorrow. We must get better. People have been asking me, that how do you do it? That every year you get better. It's sustained relationship with God. Sustained intimacy. Intimacy. That you don't have a better yesterday. You get better. You are brighter. You are sharper in the spirit. That you were not... You are not where you used to be. The path of the just is as the shining light that shines brighter and brighter. So you must check your life. If you are shining brighter and you are going downward, at the same time, there's something wrong. Because the design of God is that you are better and better. You are brighter and brighter. You are sharper and sharper. Your life must be upward. Your spiritual capacity must be upward. You get better every day. People, they must not meet you the way you were last year, even last month. Your words must change. Your complaints must change. Are you following now? The truth is, I don't complain. Who do I complain to? I don't. My life is just taken slow and steady. Are you following me now? Whether things work or they don't work, you are, see, your service to the Lord is against all odds. Against all odds. That even if there is negativity around, your service to the Lord does not shift. Even if things are not working. Oh, I love Jesus. Please let me strike the one. How I love calling your name every day. Your name is the same. How I love calling your name. Say every day. Oh, your name is the same. Somebody say Jesus. My sweet Jesus. Our Lord. Calling your name. My sweet Jesus. Precious Savior. Every day. Your name is the same. Somebody say Jesus. My sweet Jesus, yeah. How I love calling your name. Oh, my sweet Jesus, yeah. Precious Savior, yeah. Every day, yeah. Your name. Declare how I love. Calling your name. Oh, every day, yeah. Your name. Your name. Say our Lord. Calling your name. Oh, every day. Yeah. Your name. I am Kuber. Say our Lord. Say our Lord, calling your name every day. Your name, I'm on it. Say our Lord.
Maya Kabeale. Say every day. Habale Komanae. Somebody say Jesus.
Jesus.
My sweet Jesus.
Jesus.
How I
love.
Calling your name. My precious Savior, yeah, yeah.
Jesus.
My only Savior.
Jesus.
Every day, yeah.
Every day.
Your name, yeah. Say
Jesus,
mighty Savior,
yeah.
Our Lord, calling your name, precious Savior, yeah, yeah, yeah. My loving Savior, oh. Your name, Paulo Kofi. Say,
our Lord,
calling your name. Hey, in the name, come in the name, say, our Lord. Saileme kobina ena ele Saileme kamoya lele. We declare that we love you. We love you because you first loved us. And we love calling your name every day. Whether things are working or not, we love calling your name, Jesus.
Our
Lord, whether what I'm trusting you for has come or not, we love calling your name. It doesn't change anything. It doesn't, whether I have it or I don't have it, it doesn't change anything. We love calling your name. We love calling your name. We are not just coming to you for needs. Abo, we come to you because of who you are. Not because of what we need. What we have, but we don't have. Our Lord. Hey, yeah. Amanae. Say, our Lord. Our Lord. Say our Lord,
our Lord,
calling your name,
every day,
every day. Your name.
Kopela
Maila baruke pala baraduas.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you. Every day, your name. Our Lord, calling your name. Every day, your name. Our Lord, calling your name. Every day, your name. Say our Lord, calling your name. Every day, your name. Jesus is sweet. Our Lord. Our Lord calling your name. Every day. Your name, yeah. I feel like we should make progression, but because of our time. Let's do our confession. Every day, yeah, yeah. Your name. Oh, come, oh, come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel. Oh, come, oh, come, Emmanuel, I've come to thee. I've come to thee. Oh, Israel. Our confession because of time. Rejoice, Emmanuel, has come to thee, O Israel. Our confession. I am in the company of the God clan. I live in the supernatural clan. I do things natural supernaturally. And things supernatural naturally. I have rule and authority over sin, death, sickness. And poverty, immortality, and supernaturality are my realities, even in my mortality. No one can talk me out of the supernatural. I am completely supernatural. Shout, I am complete in Christ.
I am complete in Christ.
Hallelujah. Oh, come, oh, come.
We believe you have been greatly blessed. To connect with us more, follow us on our social media platforms at Menorah SOS on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can also join us live every first and last Saturday of the month on Facebook and MixLR at Menorah-SOS. Thank you for listening.